Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on the investments that have been made into Russia by large multinationals. It's now been announced that President Putin has passed a decree banning the sale of all investments into Russian businesses until the end of 2022. And this news really follows on from previous videos that I've posted. Firstly, talking about the multinationals who wanted to exit from Russia. Secondly, then talking about Russia's move to nationalize some of these assets. And then thirdly, the discussions that a lot of these companies have had with regards to selling those assets, because as you'll know, some countries around the world are still interested in doing business with Russia. India and China are the two most prominent, they're the two largest. So there was a potential for some of the Western companies to be able to realise some value of their investment that they put into Russia over the last 20 or 30 years by selling this to companies based in other countries. However, the latest decree has put a stop to all of these sales, and it now looks like Russia is making moves to nationalise every one of these assets. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the decree that's just been announced by President Putin. We'll go on to talk about the sectors that have been most affected, and they're oil, gas, banking and mining predominantly. I'll then give you an update on what's going on with regards to the Sakhalin 2 project. I recently posted a video talking about the fact that Russia had nationalized that asset. There's now been a latest development, so I'll give you a full update on that. And then finally today, I'll finish up with my summary as to what I think the implications of these moves by Russia are for both the Western companies who've invested and also for Russia and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so you can skip over stuff if you're not that interested in it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Russia has banned investors from so-called unfriendly countries from selling stakes in Russian-based entities until the end of 2022. The decree signed by President Putin bans investors from countries with supported sanctions on Russia from selling their assets in production sharing agreements, banks, strategic entities, companies producing energy equipment, as well as other projects from oil and gas production to coal and nickel. Now, this decree has been issued at an interesting time because it's now more than 5 months since Russia started the invasion of Ukraine. And it takes a long period of time for large corporate deals to be put together, particularly ones involving Russia right now, because obviously it's a very sensitive matter. There's a lot of sanctions. And so it's difficult to be able to agree the terms and conditions of any sale. And it's rumoured that a number of deals are close to completion. And Russia have obviously now taken the decision that they want to put a stop to the sale of any of these assets with a view to potentially seizing these assets for themselves. So let's have a look at the different sectors that are directly affected by this decree. The two biggest overseas investors into oil facilities in Russia that have announced that they wanted to exit from all of their investments are BP and ExxonMobil. Now, BP have had a long-standing relationship in Russia, over 30 years, and have invested around $25 billion, predominantly in the Sakhalin 1 development. And as soon as the Russian invasion was announced, BP came out and stated categorically that it no longer wanted any involvement in the Russian operations and that it wanted to exit. Now, the structure of that deal was BP had a 19.75% stake in Rosneft, which is the large Russian oil development business. And it wanted to exit from that immediately. Now, the problem with that arrangement is because of the sanctions, there were no obvious buyers. Now, if this was a normal corporate arrangement and you had a shareholder who needed to sell their stake, then either you would find another buyer or the company potentially could buy back that stake. But clearly, there is no incentive whatsoever for Rosneft to make any offer to BP for those shares. So since the war started, there's been a deadlock and there is basically no value in the shares that BP are owning. So this is basically a $25 billion write-off for BP. Now, the fact that this decree has now been issued draws a line under this matter because it means that BP are unable to sell those shares. even though there's no buyers anyway, so realistically there was no market. It just means that there is now officially no chance of BP being able to exit from that position. In terms of Exxon, they've also invested into the Sakhalin 1 development and have an exposure of around $4 billion. Now, they also stated that they wanted to exit from Russia, and it's a very similar situation. It's pretty difficult at the moment to find any buyers for a minority stake in a Russian-based oil development business because everybody's seeing what's going on. They're seeing Russia changing the rules of the game, bringing in new laws, bringing in decrees, and it's really difficult for anybody to want to get involved in that because clearly you could see the value of your investment wiped out overnight. So essentially what we're seeing from this decree with regards to the Russian oil businesses is that it's drawing a line, it's closing off those investments from BP and Exxon and eradicating any future involvement, but also, more importantly, from Russia's perspective, any possibility that somebody could come in and try to buy those stakes. Now, again, in the normal course of a corporate entity, what we would see here is a distressed debt fund or a hedge fund may come in, pick up these assets for a very low price, maybe 5 or 10 cents on the dollar, and then try to get some value out of that investment. But because this is Russia, and because of what's going on from a geopolitical point of view, nobody's stepping forward to take up that risk. So basically what we're seeing here is Russia drawing a line under these investments, closing off any possibility that Exxon and BP could recover any value whatsoever from the $29 billion that they've invested to get this facility up and running and operational. Now, the situation with regards to overseas investment into gas facilities has been quite different, and this predominantly relates to the Sakhalin 2 development. And Sakhalin is an island located off the shore of Russia, which is relatively close to Japan. And the original facility was developed in conjunction with Shell, and then two Japanese investors later came into the arrangement. Vladimir Putin has now signed a decree under which Russia will seize full control of the Sakhalin gas project. The order creates a new firm which will take over all rights and obligations of Sakhalin Energy Investment Company, which is the company in which Shell and two Japanese businesses, Mitsui and Mitsubishi, hold just under 50%. Under the terms of this arrangement, Gazprom will keep its original stake, and the other overseas shareholders are expected to ask the Russian government for a stake in the new firm within 1 month. The Russian government will then decide if the other shareholders will be allowed to keep their stakes. If they are not permitted to keep their stake, the government will sell their stakes and keep the proceeds at a special account of the shareholder. Proceeds from this account can be sent to the shareholder or used to repay unspecified damages under the production sharing agreement. Prior to this announcement, the Shell CEO had said that the company was making good progress in its plans to exit from the Sakhalin Energy joint venture. Mitsubishi and Mitsui have made no comment on this situation, however, the shares have fallen on news of this loss. So as you can see, the approach taken by President Putin has been entirely different. This is basically a full nationalization. So he's not banning the sale. He's just saying we are taking over these assets. And you potentially could get back some of your investments if you're prepared to ask us for it. And there's now been an update with regards to this situation. On the 2nd of August, Russia issued another decree relating to the foreign investors for the Sakhalin 2 liquefied natural gas project, giving all three of the investors 1 month to claim their stake in the new entity, which will replace the existing project. Now, no terms and conditions have been provided with regards to the new investment in the new company, but clearly the new company has been set up on Russia's terms. And this proposal is another way that President Putin is trying to dilute the sanctions. All of the sanctions from the Western world state that nobody wants to do any new business with Russia. They are trying to close down all future revenue for Russia in an attempt to stop the war. Now, clearly what President Putin is doing here is he's making a statement to the world that if Shell, Mitsui and Mitsubishi want to be involved in this gas development facility, they need to sign a new arrangement right now that they're prepared to do that on Russia's terms. Now, clearly, this would be a contravention of the principle of the sanctions. Anybody embarking on a new venture right now in gas development would clearly be in contravention of the principle of not doing any business with Russia. So he knows that it's extremely unlikely that Shell will take up this offer. It's virtually done and dusted that Shell will walk away from this. They've already stated they don't want anything to do with Russia. And they've got a major investment in this facility. It cost around $10 billion to set up these gas development facilities, and Shell is walking away from a huge, huge investment. Now, whether the two Japanese companies decide to take up this offer is a very interesting question. And I don't know the answer to that, but I would guess there will be a lot of political pressure not to sign a new agreement with Russia. So once again, this is Russia's way of doing a backdoor nationalisation. They've moved all of the assets into a new co. It's now all under Russian law and under the new decrees. And they are saying, if you want to be involved, you need to come to the table and negotiate with us. I think it's unlikely that the Japanese companies will take up that offer, but let's see what happens. The other major sector that's seen significant amount of financial investment over the last 20 years is banking. And the companies that are left with the biggest exposures right now are UniCredit, Citibank, and Austrian bank Raiffeisen. UniCredit operate the 14th largest bank in Russia and have an exposure of around $16 billion. Now, they've been looking to exit from that arrangement. They were trying to find a buyer. Obviously, right now, most of the buyers are going to be Russian because there are financial sanctions and banking has been one of the biggest targets of those sanctions. It's very difficult to operate normal business. So essentially what UniCredit own is a Russian bank that has lots of Russian customers making profits in Russia. Now, the main buyers of that sort of entity are going to be Russian oligarchs or other Russian financial entities. Now, that again is a very limited market because a lot of the oligarchs and Russian banks have been sanctioned themselves. So they wouldn't be able to do a deal. So it's very difficult right now for UniCredit to be able to find a credible buyer who has enough cash to be able to do the deal. And also because of the circumstances, the value that they would be offered right now is minimal. So essentially, Russia have come in and closed down any potential sale opportunities for UniCredit. Citibank operates the 19th largest bank in Russia, has over 500,000 retail customers and more than 3,000 corporate customers. And the exposure that Citibank has to Russia right now is valued at around $8 billion. And this is exactly the same situation. Citibank have been trying to sell this stake for quite a long time, for over 12 months. They previously had a deal that was in advanced discussions, but it was with VTB. And VTB were one of the first banks that was sanctioned as soon as the invasion started. So that killed that deal stone dead. An Austrian bank, Raiffeisen, have around 3 million customers in Russia, and their exposure is valued at around 3 billion euros. Now, obviously, the decree that's been passed by Russia stops the possibility of any of these overseas investors from selling their stakes. But realistically, there were not a lot of buyers lining up to take them on anyway. And essentially what Russia is doing here is bringing down the market value of these stakes to zero because it's an unsaleable situation. And effectively what I think is happening is that Russia is lining up these businesses to be nationalized because that would then ensure continuity for all of the Russian customers of these banks and make sure that nothing will happen that would have a disruptive effect on the Russian economy. The other major sector that's potentially affected by this decree is mining. Rio Tinto has the largest exposure in Russia. It owns an 80% stake in an aluminum mine in Russia and has invested a large amount of capital into that facility. In addition to Rio Tinto, Glencore also has exposure to a bauxite mine in Russia that it's developed over the last 10 years. And Kinross, the Canadian business, has been developing a gold mine in conjunction with a Russian entity. Now, since the invasion of Ukraine started, all three of these businesses have been looking to exit from their investments. And this new decree means there is now no chance that anybody will be able to step in during 2022. And I think it's highly likely that we'll see all of these assets being nationalized by Russia at some point over the next few months. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that over the last few months, we've seen a variety of decrees issued by President Putin. And all of these have been moving towards nationalizing all of the assets where there are overseas investors. President Putin no longer wants to rely on overseas money from unfriendly nations. He's had the expertise and the capital at the start of the projects. And that was really important for Russia because some of the oil and gas facilities that they've developed have been in very difficult locations. They have a lot of land that's within the Arctic Circle, and that presents a lot of challenges. So they brought in expertise from Europe and the USA to get those facilities built, structured, and operational. And now that they're producing oil and gas, he doesn't believe that he needs any of the expertise any longer and that he doesn't need any of that capital. So he's seizing control of all of these assets. But I do think that there is a risk that Russia is taking a short-term view on a long-term investment here, because there will be ongoing challenges for all of those operational facilities. And without the expertise and without being able to tap in to all of the global resources, there is a possibility that Russia could find themselves in a very difficult situation at some point in the near future, because there are always going to be challenges when you're dealing with really hostile environments. So they've taken this action predominantly as a result of the sanctions. They're wanting to push back and make sure that there's as much pain as possible put onto the companies who've invested money into Russia. But actually, since the war started, companies such as BP, Shell and Exxon all came out and stated that they wanted to walk away from those overseas investments anyway. And it was unlikely that they were going to realise any significant value, because the market for these assets is now extremely limited. If you're a company sitting in India or China, then theoretically you could step in and buy those assets, because on paper there's a lot of value there. But the risk is that from a political point of view, Russia could always take away that value by changing the rules of the game. And that's exactly what's happened over the last few months. Russia have started nationalizing assets. They've started taking control and just basically walking away with the value of that investment. So I think that is a real disincentive for an Indian or a Chinese company to get into bed with Russia, because the trust has to be there. You have to believe that over the next 10 to 20 years, there will be a long-term relationship. But if you fall out politically, then you could see all of that investment taken away. So essentially what we're seeing here is Russia taking hold of all of these assets for itself. So that's fine from a balance sheet point of view. It looks good because Russia now owns all of these valuable assets. But going forward, the big question is, will they be able to manage all of these assets without any overseas investment or any technical expertise? And that is the potential risk that Russia's taking on right now. They've seized control. They will get all of the income. So in the short term, this will be positive for them. But in the medium to long term, there is a really big risk that if these facilities get themselves into a difficult situation and they have technical problems, that they won't be able to solve them and they could end up in a world of pain. Now, in terms of the impact on the global economy, clearly the loss of these overseas investments is going to hurt a lot of these businesses. But the companies that are based in oil and gas have had the benefit that we've seen a large increase in the price of all of those assets. So the losses that they're experiencing in Russia are being offset by an increase in the value of their other businesses and the increased revenue that they're seeing from the higher prices in the market. So overall, BP, Shell and Exxon will be absolutely fine. They are doing very well relative to a lot of other sectors right now. In terms of banking, the companies that have invested heavily into Russia will see a hit, and they'll also see a hit because we're going into a global slowdown, potentially a global recession. And banking tends to be one of the sectors that gets hardest hit when we have a downturn, because we have bad debts and they will rack up losses. So the banking side of things will feel the pain more than oil and gas. From the miners' perspective, it's a similar story to oil and gas. We've seen a big increase in the value of a lot of mining products. So although they're losing their investments in Russia, they've got an uplift elsewhere because there's a general rise in prices. So again, I think those companies will do better relatively than a lot of other businesses in other sectors. In terms of the impact of all of this on Russia, well, as I just mentioned, in the short term, I think there'll be a benefit because they're seizing control of all of the revenue from the oil and gas. But clearly, in the medium to long term, there are bigger issues here. Firstly, all of the sanctions are starting to hit home. The market for Russian energy is decreasing. It'll be interesting to see what happens with regards to India and China. My belief is that the secondary sanctions will start to be enforced on both of those countries, and that could mean that they buy less Russian energy products, and therefore we could see Russia's market starting to decrease quite rapidly. And long term, I think the outcome of all of this will be detrimental to Russia. In addition to that, I think Russia will encounter technological problems that may cause them real problems with regards to their production, output, and potentially profitability. In terms of the overall impact on the global economy, I think it's negative because we were better as one world. When we had all countries working together, selling products and working together from a technological point of view, that was beneficial for everybody. Now that we're seeing a fragmentation, we're seeing Russia moving away from the Western world, trying to create different markets, it's going to cause more problems because we're seeing changes to the supply chain and we're seeing increases in prices. And all of that is driving up inflation. And all of that's putting pressure on the global economy and is potentially going to move us into recession during 2022. So overall, unfortunately, I think the impact of all of this is negative. So hopefully you found today's episode interesting, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.